Well, Josh, I'll kick it over to you, and let's get busy.
Great. Hello, everyone, and thanks for calling in. My name is Josh Millar, and I work with the IBIS Network. We've just launched our new website, and you can visit it at www.theibisnetwork.com. That's TheIbisNetwork.com. On the new site, under the Services tab at the top of the page, you can learn more about our two distinct programs. Our introduction service helps you partner with productive realtors in your local market. And for just $129 a month, our professional networking suite gives you your own mortgage blog website, which gets updated daily by our staff of professional writers. You get a full-color, three-page monthly e-newsletter branded for you and ready to send to your contact list of prospects. You get set up on the eight major social networking sites, including profiles on the industry sites, ActiveRain and Trulia. And we do search engine optimization of your business website. If you have any questions after reading through the site or want to see actual samples of the content, send me a note through the Contact Us page. We're running a promotion on today's call. We have a setup fee for the networking suite. It's $560 because there's about 8 hours of setup work involved. And we'll waive that for anyone on today's call who signs up before May 15th. Now, we also offer a 50% discount on the Realtor Introduction Service if you're using the networking suite. Joining us today is the coach, Bill Sparkman. Bill has coached, trained, and motivated thousands of loan originators and real estate agents nationwide. He has been developing champions in the mortgage and real estate industries since 1987. His nuts and bolts, real-world approach to increasing performance will move you to the next level. Bill's sales and marketing ideas are up to date, fresh, and proven to be successful in creating results now. Today, we'll learn how to turn prospects into paychecks. Good morning, Bill.
Well, hello, Josh, and welcome to everybody. Thanks for calling in to today's business building session. And right off the bat, as always, thanks to the IBIS group, to Josh Millar, for their commitment and the statement that they make during this series of these calls to help you grow your business, and I think it's loud and clear. So thanks to them for making this a good time for all of us to look at this critical topic. Now, you all had a lot of choices today, I'm sure, and you chose to be on this call. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Make that a good choice for yourself. Listen for one thing that you really can use immediately, and not only something you can use now, but that could have the biggest impact on the bottom line of your business. And I think that will protect your investment of time for today's call. You know, today's topic, you know, for me, this is the revenue generator in your business, the whole concept of lead conversion. And really, your business, I say, is divided into three areas, you know, lead generation, lead conversion, and client retention. Those are three critical areas. I also know that the sales graveyard is really filled with underachievers who lacked this particular skill of converting prospects that they generated from their marketing into closed loans. And not only closed loans, but predictable paychecks. And I think that may be a key issue for all of us. It may well be the weakest link among all salespeople. I say that, you know, maybe right after lead generation. You know, I think that's also a definite weakness for people in our business today. So here's the objective. I'm going to give you some tangible tools, techniques, tricks, some scripts to use that you will hopefully find some of those that will match, again, your style, your personality. I'm going to focus some ideas on really four strategies that can help you generate more signed applications with qualified prospects, and I guess that's the key word, because unless we can find qualified prospects and generate the signature on your application, I guess then that all this lead generation and marketing and advertising is really nothing more than a waste of money. Let's start off with, as we always do, with some good news. I think we always are looking for good news. We got some good news. Prices are up, you know, and for you and I, that is good news. It's the first month, I think, that there's been a rise in 3 years. So I think we can say that we've hit the bottom. If you have any buyers that you're working with that you've pre-qualified, that are waiting for the market to hit the bottom, you probably can call them today and tell them that they missed. You know, once values begin to rise, doesn't matter how much, for me, that's a sign we've hit the bottom. We've got that. We still have good home selection. We've got ridiculous interest rates still today. We've got the FHA keeping the 6% seller contributions in place. We've got the first-time home buyer tax credit being extended for 1 year until April of 2011. By the way, that's for military. This is a good one, by the way. Spread this news. Very few people even know that this took place, especially your realtor referral partners, that the VA is extending until April 2011 that first time home buyer tax credit. Now, there's a couple of caveats. I'm sure you'll be able to find that online. It's just 90 day continued service overseas. So I think from 2008 through 2010. So it's giving those that were that didn't have the opportunity to take advantage of that to be able to do that now until April 2011. That's good news. We need to spread that news. I mean, you've got HomePath. I mean, where else can we? I mean, Fannie Mae absolutely wants to move their homes. I mean, come on, 3% down, no appraisal, no MI, investor, owner occupied. Do you think you got some stories to tell your realtors on that one? That's HomePath.com. That's just a Fannie Mae REO program. But again, this is good news for us. We've got FHA at 3.5% down, VA at 0 down, home buyer tax credit extended. I got Fannie Mae homes at 3% down, no appraisal, no MI. It's a good day. And if that's not good enough, you've got less competition than you had 1 month ago. And wait till July. There'll be even less competition. So I think that's all good. I think you have a good story there. For those of you that have passed the national exam, I think you'll be able to use that to your benefit when talking to prospects. There are people that have went to work for a bank where there is no requirement for a federal license in process, and some went to work for a bank just because of that. They couldn't pass the test, maybe. So anyway, all good news. Here's the foundation. For today's topic, I want to create a bit of a foundation to stand on when we talk about this critical issue. I think that turning a prospect into a paycheck doesn't come from a series of random events, manipulation, or the stars lining up just right. I think it starts with a realization that there is a distinction, first of all, between a suspect and a prospect. You know, it's difficult to turn suspects into paychecks. I got to tell you that right off the bat. A suspect is simply a contact. A suspect is anybody you talk to. Somebody fogs a mirror, that's a suspect. But now a prospect, there's a huge difference. You know, revenue, again, comes from prospects. And that's somebody that you have an appointment with, either in person or on the telephone. You know, it's what I call game on. There's a paycheck in sight, okay? But that's a big difference. Suspects or bad leads, working with the wrong prospects, it's like bad cholesterol. I'm telling you, it'll just block your energy. It'll take you out. So that is another subject, more about marketing, but I think we have to be very good at the point of sale, finding a way to tell the difference between the two. We'll look at that closely. You know, prospects are the ones that create the highest closing probability in your business. Some loan officers that I have recently have been coaching, they have a low conversion rate. But the reason that conversion rate is so low, they're basing it on that they spend 80% of their time talking to suspects. And then they tell me, hey, Bill, my conversion rate is really low. I need some help in sales skills. I need some closing skills. I need ways to overcome objections. See, that's not the point. They're working with the wrong people. They need not more leads. They need better leads, number one, and they have to be able to tell the difference. They need more prospects and less suspects. So it really begins to be a time management issue, knowing where to spend your time. If I told you this is a group, this is what they look like, this is how you can tell if they are prospects, and this is where your revenue is generated from, I would suspect that that's where you would spend the bulk of your time. So let's look at four steps, these four ideas, just some ideas that you can use every day and to practice. So let's start with how to shorten the sales cycle. Well, I guess, first of all, don't work with reverse mortgages. Just kidding. But that could be a long sales cycle. But how to shorten the sales cycle and get paid faster. And by the way, I created a kit. It's just called How to Shorten the Sales Cycle and Get Paid Faster Kit. It's a topic I use for realtor seminars, but it definitely catches the attention of the real estate agents today. So if you are looking for or have a presentation coming up, that's a good one right off the bat. And if you do, let me know, and I'll give you some bullet points that we'll create a pretty easy 20-minute or two-hour seminar. So I think how to shorten the sales cycle. It's clarifying, number one. I'm going to give you a bullet point. One, clarify suspect prospect ASAP upfront as quickly as you can. And I think that the way you do that is by having great direct and bottom-line questions. You, remember, your radar is up. You have just made a contact. Remember, everybody's a suspect until we go through the process of elimination. So I think these questions, they've got to be open-ended. They need to create a conversation. I'm a conversational salesperson. I don't know how to say that. You've got to find a way early, as quickly as you can, to reveal what they aren't telling you. And I think that's critical. I still like the five magic words to start this conversation, which is tell me about your situation. That's the first question that we always use. That will begin to open a real conversation. I don't care if it's what are the interest rates or what kind of mortgages you do. Tell me about your situation. That's a critical question. How soon do you want to move? Somebody tells me, yeah, we're thinking of buying a house. Great. Everybody should get one. But I need to know, how soon are you considering moving? See, that's a critical question for you and I. That is going to tell us the level of urgency. So when do you want to move? I just think you've got to have those questions that really get you in to the right conversation. Closing, that's the one. People spend so much time closing. I think if they would spend more time opening a great conversation, they'd have a lot easier time. Closing would be more natural. I guess one of my best closes, I don't even know if it's a close, a refi or purchase. Anything stopping us from getting started right now? I don't know how to say that fancy. But remember, shorten up the sales cycle. Anything stopping us, anything preventing us from getting started right now. See, I'm looking for, basically, they could really only, I guess they could just not say anything, but they either have to say yes or no. If they say no, that's pretty good. Here, sign here. Let's get busy. Take out your checkbook. I mean, let's get to that next step. I'm also looking for the yeah, but. Anything stopping us from getting started right now? Well, yeah, we're ready to go, but here it is. See, give me the yeah, but, so that you and I can begin to evaluate the situation as quickly as we can. I even like, how soon are you prepared to make a decision? You're talking to somebody about a refinance. You're talking to somebody about a purchase. You can say it a lot of different ways. How soon are you prepared to make a decision? Let's say you pre-approved a buyer that you're going to be referring to one of your realtor partners. It's a good thing to know. How soon are you guys going to be prepared to make a decision? How soon do you want to move? Those kind of things. These questions are all helping to reveal the motivation and the time hot buttons. Motivation and time hot buttons. Yeah, I guess you could say urgency and motivation hot buttons. Those kind of questions. How to shorten the sales cycle. Well, I guess the next step is getting all the documents up front. You see, for me, that's a commitment revealer. when I tell somebody, this is what I need right now when we meet. I need 2 years tax returns, 2 years W-2s, two check stubs, two of the whatever it is that you require, get that information up front. And if they don't produce it, well, the sales cycle just got longer, number one. And second of all, it tells you a little something about their commitment, doesn't it? I mean, they don't even bring me their documents that, you know, and again, with the new good faith estimate and everything else going on, I need to get those documents up front. So that's what I call the commitment revealer. Give me your documentation up front. If it is a purchase transaction, remember, shorten the sales cycle. Get a copy of that contract as soon as you can, the purchase contract, and read it. There's lots of little surprises that don't get revealed often through the realtor or the buyer telling you. So be sure that you get a copy of the contract. Our realtors are required to scan them and email them. We don't take fax contracts. I can't do it. How about you? How many times have you got a real estate purchase contract? It's been faxed 4 or 5 times to who knows who, and I can't even read it. So get the contract, get it up front, and then be nosy and actually read it. There could be lots of fun things in there, you know, that seller not responsible for the leaky roof. I mean, you know, whatever it might be. A property's being sold as is. We're not going to fix this, this, and this. So that's another conversation, but you get the concept. We give the buyer, the seller, and the buyer's agent our loan processing file flow chart. Now, this is, by the way, this is a good one. It's very simple. But I want to make it very clear that everybody's got a little something to do here to make this transaction happen as painless as possible and to meet the closing deadline. So the loan processing flow chart, it may not be the flow chart that your company uses for getting a loan through the system, but it's a real simple one that starts with application. It really tells the buyer who does what, and how things get slowed down. This is really a little educational piece, probably more than anything else. So the buyer gets it, the realtor gets it, and don't forget the listing agent. I think that's critical. I have given Josh a sample of the one that we use, and I've given him permission to share that with you. So if you'd be interested, let Josh know. He'll share that with you. And once again, it's just a tool. I want the buyer to know, here's where we're going. Here's what's going to be happening. This is what I take care of. This is what I need you to take care of. And if all this works on time, we're going to have an easy, I don't think I'd use the word easy anymore, but we'll get this thing done on time. Lastly, I want you to get the income documents up front as soon as possible. For me, it's the number one way we found to get the buyer off the street is by getting their income documents. They just don't want to produce them again. You know, once I get their income, now that doesn't mean that they're not going to continue looking for a loan. But I'll tell you what, once I got their income documents, for me, that's part of my checklist, and that's like, all right, I'm getting closer. More about, again, commitment than anything else. So last thing about this point. Control the point of sale. Be direct. Be bottom line. And I think the questions that you use begin to create your credibility and confidence. Not only the confidence that you have, but the confidence that the consumer begins to place in you. So, step one, shorten that sales cycle. Use the right questions. Step two. And I don't think step two. This is another part of the whole conversation, prospect to paycheck. Let's talk about how to stop the buyer, your borrower, from shopping. First of all, you won't. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't care. You see, the moment the borrower signs your application, in that moment, everybody in his life becomes an expert, a financial wizard. So somebody the other day told me, my buyers, they don't shop me. Once I get them, I get them. And I thought, well, okay, first of all, I wanted to bow. You know, okay, great. Well, let me give you something to consider. Even if you have that type of an ironclad relationship with your buyer, they don't have to shop you. Think about it. That buyer on the way to work tomorrow morning is going to hear three or four ads on the radio, and they're going to be talking about interest rates are going to be a lot lower than you told him. They're going to talk about products that you didn't bring up. He's going to hear those ads again driving home from work. He's going to see them in the paper. He's going to see them on TV. So really, your buyer doesn't have to shop you. He's bombarded the moment he shifts from thinking about taking out a loan or buying a home and making that decision. So we're going to try to do what we can to create a bit of a safety net there, but it's just one of the things that we always have to deal with. So how do we stop them from shopping? Number one, let me just go back to get their income documents at the absolute first meeting and get them get that commitment right up front. Number two, stopping people from shopping. We spend a lot of time, and this isn't a marketing call today, but that's why we spend so much of our energy, effort, and dollars in relationship-based marketing. Get more referrals if you want to have people less shopping you. I've found that with the referred clients, there is a lot more opportunity to take people out of that shopping mode. Why? They trusted somebody. Now they trust. There's just a trust level. It's more like a, it's more like a warm lead, okay? So, again, that's a, we call it make a friend, make a sale. Make a referral that's solid and keep that relationship-based marketing going, and I think part of that's going to help also. We call that our non-commissioned sales team. That's where those referrals come from, your referral partners, your closed clients, your sphere of influence. Those create what I say leads that, again, there's nothing easy, but leads that are a little bit a little bit more trustworthy. Next, I would say we've got to do what you can to create that relationship. Now we're talking about a lead that is not a referral. Actually, it could be a suspect so far. Now I'm going to throw that back on the table, relationship and trust. Now, that's not a new concept. People tell me all the time, I got that loan because they trusted me. They had confidence in me. I like that concept. I'm all in. But I'm more interested in how did you get that trust and confidence? How did you build a relationship with somebody when you had them on the telephone for like 6 minutes? So I think it begins with that whole preparation conversation about being prepared. Know your product. You don't go out there and start talking about the VA extending the first-time homebuyer tax credit until you Google it or whatever. You get in and you become that expert. Don't talk about HomePath, 3% down non-owner-occupied loans with no appraisal and no MI until you've researched it. Become the expert. Know your product. You were selling tires, I suspect you'd know everything there was to know about tires. Same thing. Second, know your competition. I think that's critical today because of the confusion with regards to marketing today. You've got to know your competition. You've got to know where you can fill a void. Just about 2 or 3 days ago, a realtor told me that I met that they had a buyer that told them that they were going to get their home loan through ING. And I said, really, how come they're going to do that? And the realtor said, well, because they have 3.5% interest. Well, I said, that's pretty interesting. I said, how much money have they got to put down? Well, they're a little short. I think they're going to go like 10% down. Anyway, for you and me in this conversation, I know ING. I mean, I know my competition. First of all, it's 3 7/8. Second of all, they only have two loans available. They sell two products, a 5/1 arm and a 7/1 arm. That's it. Oh, and third of all, they only do 20% down purchases. So do you see, know your competition. I don't have to beat up somebody and go, oh, they're not going to do it. There's no such thing as 3.5. I'm not going to go beat them up. I just know their product. And I think with a limited product line today, that's much easier. Know your product. Know your competition. I think that will help you in anticipating obstacles in the area that I live and maybe where you. I can't beat the banks on rate and closing costs, not in a million years. They're giving money away. I'm not going to take them on at that level. But I'll beat them everywhere else. Absolutely, in every other area of the business, I will have no problem going up against any bank. So that's just, it's almost like negative planning, you know, anticipating obstacles. Well, that's an obstacle. I ask people all the time, how are you going to be choosing the lender that you select to handle your home loan? It's always interesting to hear what they say. Not a bad question, by the way. Maybe you go back to step one in the sales cycle shortening conversation and ask somebody, how are you going to select a lender that will be handling your home sale or your mortgage? That's a pretty open-ended question, and you know, it gives you something right up front to see if you'll have an identified obstacle up front. So an example of this is somebody told me recently they lost a loan due to the new good faith estimate, and I thought that was interesting. You lost a loan because of the new GFE. First of all, if you lost it, where did you leave it? Well, we can go find it. See, he didn't really lose it. He never had it. That makes it, you can't lose something you never had. So I told him, or at least I suggested, I said, I want you to consider this. You didn't lose that particular loan because of the new good faith estimate. You lost that loan due to your lack of relationship with your client. That's what lost it. You didn't have the relationship. See, you didn't do that preparation homework. You didn't gain the trust. You didn't gain that relationship by knowing your product, knowing the competition, anticipating obstacles. You see, that's why you lost the loan. It was nothing more than that. So this is an area where I really think that you can become the expert in the eyes of your prospect. Become the expert, and you do that through some of the things that we just said. Now, questions that also will create doubt or confusion work here. Remember, we're still talking about how to stop people from shopping. Somebody tells me, well, let's just go back to the example. Thanks, Bill. We're going to go through this other lender. You know, I looked at their website. They've got 3.5%. And you said that today rates are 4 7/8 or whatever it might be. So right off the bat, you have a choice. I could beat them up and go, there's nobody doing 3.5. What are you doing? It's crazy. Give me their name. I'm not going to argue, but I'm definitely going to ask some questions that may begin to create doubt and stop them in that moment from shopping and look at me as more of an expert. Things like, what kind of a mortgage was that they quoted at that 3.5%? What kind of a mortgage? See, I'm trying to create a little either confusion or doubt. Like, what kind? I don't know. I guess it was a fixed rate. Really? How did you find that out? Did you get a true loan quote from that particular source? A true loan quote. And the only way you could have got a true loan quote is if they ran your credit profile. When did they say you had to close at that 3.5%? See, the questions are, you know, I want them to get to the point where they go, you know, I don't know. They didn't bring up any of that. Well, I think it's an important issue. I think all those are important. And I'm a consumer just like you. I don't think it's fair to leave those things out. So again, I don't have to beat up the lender. Just bring up the things because you're a pro that you know will begin to create some doubt in their mind. Okay, moving on to the third step. Stop. I think on the bullet that announced the seminar today, it was something about stop telling and then start selling. You know, there's that moment where enough is enough. All right, you've asked some great questions. All right, now just shut up. Listen, it's your number one, probably the number one most important communication and sales skill is just listening. Two ears, one mouth, ask a great question and listen. Stop telling them, stop downloading, and then get ready to start selling, but not yet, just listen. I say you can build more rapport from listening than anything else. Listening and building rapport, by the way, must occur before any selling can begin. Otherwise, you're just downloading. So before you start, okay, here we go. You know, I've got to show them what I got. Well, slow down a little bit. Hang on a second. Stop downloading. I think that there is a problem with many people in our business. It's, I call it malpractice, you know, which is prescribing medication before examining the patient. Well, that happens in our business a lot. People just start to talk to somebody and just start selling them and giving them something they think they want. So So again, the questions that we've even talked about a minute ago, I call it commitment 10 seconds at a time. I just want to keep asking these questions to keep giving myself the opportunity to listen, because again, I think it's honoring to people. So that question, I say again, it only gives me another 10 seconds, right? How are you going to select a lender you'll be going with for this home loan? It's going to give me 10 more seconds. See, 10 seconds at a time, and that comes from those questions. And these questions also will reveal the real objections. Sometimes you start overcoming an objection, and it wasn't even an objection. It was just a question. I mean, I will never address an objection unless I think it's a tiebreaker. I mean, if this is it, other than that, you have to be very, very clear, and you get clear by listening. And I think you also have to alter your style a bit, whether it's in person or you are on the telephone. There are some people that you speak to that are just, they're more bottom line than you are. Hey, what's the rate? Well, let me tell you about myself. You know, I work for, what's the rate? You know those people. They don't want you to go from A to Z and build whatever the relationship. They just want to know, what's the rate? Now, you've got to sort of alter your style to that. I think you can, now you've got to have some real direct and bottom line questions. And then you've got other people that want to analyze everything. You have to alter your style, if that's not your style, by the way. If you're just more bottom line, like that A personality and that, you're going to have to temper it a bit. You're talking to somebody now that wants to know how the loan was made. They want to know what the difference is between the amount financed and the finance charge. They want to know, well, that's their style. So you've got to alter that. Does that make sense? You can't start selling yet. You can't do any telling. You've got to listen and be willing to go from A to Z. And then there's other people that want to spend the first 5 minutes talking to you all about building relationship, all about social stuff first. And if that's not your style, alter your style a little bit. I more like to talk to people that are bottom line. That's more my style. But every once in a while, you get somebody that, oh, how's it going? And the kids are in the soccer right now, and we've been thinking of buying that. Here they go. Alter your style. Be a great listener. Know when to stop telling. Start listening, and then start selling. Fourth area, getting your buyer off the fence. Well, this could be critical. You know, how many people do you have thinking it over right now? Oh, you did a great job. Yeah, got our prospect. You did. You know where they're at. They're motivated. Their urgency level is high. So, but they're on the fence. They say, hey, thank you for everything. We're going to call you up. We're going to run this through with our. We're going to think it over. And you and I both know they have no intention of thinking it over. They're on the fence. They're stalling. They're postponing making a decision. But I finally learned after taking a few on the chin, they don't just go home and start thinking things over. That's not what happens. You see, it could be that that's just another way to get away from you so they can just say, you know what, forget it. We're not getting a loan. We're just too confused. So I think first we have to understand why they're stalling. And I really believe that that's critical. Why are people on the fence? Why are they thinking this? Or why do people take so long to make a decision? And there are a few tangible reasons that you're going to have to find a way to overcome. Number one, there's a fear of a better deal. You have to deal with that every day. One of the reasons people either don't choose you for their loan or don't make the decision is they have a fear that if they choose you, what if there's a better deal? You know, that's one reason. So it's, for them, it's better to make no decision than to actually make one. There's a fear of making a mistake. Same thing. Easier not make a decision than make a decision that's the wrong one. So if your client has that fear of making a mistake, they're gonna put off making that decision. There's no emotion. That's a difficult one. Unless it's a purchase. Purchases are emotional, refis are logical. I already got that. You got to find a way even to make a refinance emotional, and we'll talk about that in a minute. There's no motivation. Well, you found that out in the first 5 minutes you talked to them. Remember those questions. How soon are you considering moving? How soon are you going to make a decision? There's just there's no motivation. If there's not, they're not going to make a decision. They're confused. Another reason. And by the way, you may be the one that put them on the fence. You may be the one that confused them. You gave them too many options. You got all off on all these things and the jargon and the LTV and the DTI and the 30 and 30 and 15 and 10 and whatever. You got them so confused that they just said, you know what, forget it. We ain't doing it. We'll go think it over. Thank you. Don't confuse them. I think that's huge. The economy is a big one still for people today. There's a fear of losing their job, fear of being laid off. If that's it, if that's what you get from them, how did you get it? You asked great questions. You listened. You got a good sense of it. Then that is one thing that you're going to have to find a way to put another tool in your shed to overcome that particular objection. We've talked about that in the last call, and that's the mortgage payment protection. This is when you're able to offer that to somebody, only because that is what's keeping them on the fence. So the mortgage payment protection program may be just what they need to get them off that fence and move forward. The last reason they're on the fence, not the last, but you know, at least in this conversation, they're just a suspect. You thought they were a prospect. You did a good job in all your questions, all your probing. But really what they were just a suspect. They're not really going to move ahead on anything anyway. So if you come up with that one, that's where you use that four-letter word. The four-letter word next, N-E-X-T, next. Some will, some won't, so what, so next. Let's move on. And just remember that people don't think things over. Some people just don't know how to say no, or they don't know how to express their real concern. So instead of that, they just say, we're going to think it over. There is a personality style that they just don't want to hurt your feelings. So they'll say yes, they'll do something, and then they'll cancel tomorrow. It's that personality style that has the highest cancellation rate. So here are some questions, again, to help in this conversation. I use this question a lot. I want your customer to think. You know, make them think. And I think part of it comes from those kind of questions that you ask. Guys, listen, before I continue, I sense that there is a concern that I haven't addressed. Am I close? Am I on track? That's a great question. It gives people the permission to say, well, you know, now that you mentioned it, here's our real concern. All right, now we're getting the real one. But do you see that? I can just say, you know, hey, time out. I like that. I like those two words. Just time out. Guys, before I go any further, I sense that there's a concern that I haven't addressed. I didn't say, what's wrong with you guys? Come on, this is perfect for you. No, I sense there's a concern that I haven't addressed. Am I close? Am I on track? I like that on track in a lot of ways. I can stop a presentation and just say, but before I go any further, am I on the right track? Okay, good. Let's continue. Just that. What's the biggest obstacle right now for us getting started today? See, that it's a pretty pointed question. If they say, well, there isn't any. Oh, so I guess, well, let's get busy then. What's the biggest obstacle? And you can use other words. What's your biggest concern that's standing between you and making the decision right now? I think that's a critical question. See, remember, these are questions pointed at the ones that are on the fence. does that answer your question? See, once you sense it and they say, well, yeah, here's a concern you haven't addressed. Well, game on. Address it. And when you're done, you can ask, well, does that satisfy your concern? Does that answer your question? It does? All right, let's go. See, it's okay to slow down a little bit. Who else besides you is going to be involved in making the decision? Oh, no one. Come on. Who else? Are you going to have to run this by anybody else? And that's a pretty critical question as well. Who else besides you will be involved in making the decision? I think the question is really, or another opportunity to demonstrate to that particular prospect that, number one, you care, number two, you're interested, and number three, you're listening. And I think that that's how they get that sense. And if they just spoke to somebody on the phone and all they wanted to do is rattle off rates and jargon and everything else, you do have that opportunity to make yourself stand apart. And I think that's what we're always trying to do. Create some distance between you and the last person they talk to. And I absolutely believe it comes from being interested, asking great questions, and really finding a way to listen to what's being said. It definitely will help speed things up. If you still don't have the contract signed, your application, whatever you get, I would say at this point you've got to make, if they are going to think it over, you've even though if they're not really, but if that's their decision, I think the only way you can lose now is if you don't set an appointment to follow up with them. So I think this is where you say, great, all right, I got it. This is something that you're going to think over, and I appreciate that because I know when you make your decision, it will be made from a high level of commitment. So all I need to know from you guys is when can we get back together? See, set an appointment to follow up. It's not just, okay, I'll call you. I'll call you in a couple of days. No, when can we follow up? Because when you do follow up, that's just the sales cycle starting all over again. See, following up isn't, well, hi, what do you think? I hold it as the follow-up call. It's back to the first step. The sales cycle starts all over again. And let me see if I can find some ways to speed that up. Well, I hope that you have found a question or two, again, that matches your style. Whether they work for you or not, you'll only know through practice. And really, that's all we have every day, just a way to get out there and practice. So in summary, closing and generating more paychecks really is all about opening conversations versus closing the sale. If you will just consider that, if you have to close your prospect, I say you did a poor job opening the conversation. Now, you still have to ask for the order. Does that mean people aren't just going to run up and grab the pen out of your hand and say, okay, that's it, we want to buy from you? I mean, you still have to ask for the business. You have to earn the business. You don't deserve their loan. You only get what you earn, all that. So this isn't some magical, remember, it won't be just the stars being just right and you asking the right question. You still have to ask for the order. I think that's where persistence comes in as well. I never mistake genius for persistence. I will take persistence over genius any day. I think that's part of it. I do have a form also, a form. I don't know if that's a good word. I have a list of my over 20 of my favorite questions that you can use that will help reveal urgency commitment from your contact. Help you determine suspect from prospect. And if you'd like a copy of that, once again, just let Josh know, and he'll be happy to share that with you. Well, first of all, thank you for joining the call today. Be sure, this was free for you. I'm not free. My tab was picked up today by Josh Millar and the IBIS Network. So be sure that you visit their website, number one, the IBISnetwork.com, IBISnetwork.com. The IBISnetwork.com absolutely can elevate your business to another level. So that will be the first way you can say thank you for their commitment in the series of calls that we're engaged in to help grow your business. From me, take a look at my website, BillSparkmanTheCoach.com. If you're not getting my weekly coaching e-tip, sign up. It's free. You'll get that once a week so that I can be that little rock in your shoe to keep you moving forward. With that, thank you. Make it a great day. Thanks, Josh, and thanks to the IBIS Network. See you, everybody.